This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Lucy and Sam on FUBAR.
Hello, my lovely listeners, and welcome to FUBAR Radio. We've got an exciting show for you, and you know why? Because it's brand spanking new. That's right, it's the Sam and Lucy show. And whether you're listening to us at school and Mrs. O'Neill's telling you to take those bloody headphones out, or you're at university trying to get that dissertation done, but all you've done is colour code it, or maybe you're at work and you're listening to what you want to listen to, your not so guilty, guilty pleasure, pirate radio. You excited, Sam?
Quite excited, mate, yeah. Just a bit ill.
You're a bit ill.
Which is kind of taking the edge off it.
Oh.
Because I'm more worried about my runny nose than this show.
Well, I could do a little wee of excitement. I'm so excited.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ill as well?
No, I'm just slightly incontinent when I'm excited.
Oh, it's just something you've had to come to terms with.
Just got to deal with it, Sam.
All the time.
Take it as it comes. Which is difficult being a comedy journalist because, you know, that's a lot of laughter. That's a lot of urine
God,
there,
yeah.
You know.
Mm. I actually was incontinent for a few years of my life. Like, a number of years I had to deal with incontinence, and I thought it was going to be something that I had for the rest of my life.
Do you ever think, brand new show, show number one, first thing we talk about, incontinence.
Yeah, but I'm happy to
straight
talk
in
about
there.
It.
You know, because we're pirate radio, we'll even talk about incontinence.
Do you want to hear the story?
Go on then.
So, I was 14.
Right.
I think. So, at 14, that's like the prime age when you need to be cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, now I'm 21, I've realised it's not the be-all and end-all.
What, being able to control your bladder?
No, being cool.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Whereas when you're 14, that's all you care about.
Yeah.
All I want to be is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So incontinence, no matter what your age, isn't cool, but being incontinent at 14 is a nightmare.
Now, when we say incontinent, are we talking about number ones or the number twos?
No, number ones.
Oh, thank God.
Number twos, I was in complete control
of. No shouting going on there.
No, complete control of number twos.
Oh, thank God for that.
Just number ones I had an issue with.
Yeah.
Because, and this is a true story, because a teacher didn't let me go to the toilet once, I developed a very bad bladder infection.
Oh,
which had scarred me for, I'd say, 18 months.
Yeah.
So, what happened was, I, for some reason, was drinking loads of Lucozade or whatever it was over lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
Come to period four, which at my school, that was the one straight after lunch.
Okay. Full of Sunny D and everything, yeah.
Well, it wasn't Sunny D at the time. It was probably like Mountain Dew or something.
Oh,
because
okay.
We had an ice cream van. He used to park up around the corner from school. And this is when Mountain Dew wasn't in the shop, but he was selling it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's actually quite cool. You really were a cool kid, apart from the incontinence.
Yeah. So I drank too much Mountain Dew.
Okay.
Mr. Shaw then didn't let me go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And I was desperate. And we were just packing up, and I'd be like, sir, please, please, please. And he was like, Sam, 5 minutes to go, you know, 3 minutes to go, we're packing up, and just as we're packing up, we're about to leave, I just get this feeling run through my body, and it's that same feeling you get when you go to the toilet.
Yeah.
Can you picture that one? It's that relief feeling.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
picturing it. I'm trying to hold it in right now, yeah.
Do you know the one I'm talking about? It's almost like, it's similar to sex.
Okay.
When you really need the toilet, and then it just comes out of you, and I had that very feeling.
Both joy and horror. At the same time.
Yeah, it just washed over me, this like, and then I just thought, well, that's it. I'm 14 and I've just wet myself on the front row of an English classroom.
Oh.
But then I realised that I hadn't wet myself. What had happened was I just got that wash feeling over me. And then for about 2 weeks on the trot, that feeling just kept coming.
Right.
Kept coming. And I felt like I needed the toilet every 2 minutes, yet when I went to the toilet, nothing was coming out. I had to warn teachers. I had to say to teachers, I've got a bladder infection, which is not cool. You know,
no,
like,
you never want to say, I've got cystitis, miss, let me out.
That's why I had to do like part of the register. It was like, Zam, yes, miss, and I've got cystitis. that's what happened. But
Sam, the cystitis kid.
That's what I became. So it was bad for about 2 weeks. It was that bad for 2 weeks. I was Sam the cystitis kid. But then after that, I would say it was incontinence. It was before every single lesson, I had to go to the toilet.
Oh, you little weirdo.
And there was two of us, me and my friend Michael, weren't that friendly, but because we were in a lot of classes together, we were both incontinent, we became best of friends.
The incontinence twins.
But now I'm a bit older, I've realised that it was just a phase.
So is it over now? Do I need to worry about this? Do I need to schedule loo breaks?
No, we'll play songs.
And then you can run for a quick wee.
Yeah.
You and Michael, meet up, high five, wee. We made it.
He's still just as bad now.
Is he?
He texts me. He goes to work and is in the toilet all the time. And he'll text me when he's at the urinal telling me.
Really?
Yeah, that bad. But like, aww. I say, I'm over it. As long as I play enough
it's
songs.
Not like you're talking about it on our first radio
show.
Oh, no,
I'm not over the fact
trauma.
That I was... Yeah, the trauma's still there. Like, you can't... Being an incontinent 14-year-old is not good. But I think I'm over the actual cystitis, I think.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Your cystitis comes and goes.
It does, yeah.
It could come back.
Well, I hope not.
Mm.
I really hope... I'll just have to make sure I go to the toilet.
Cranberry juice.
That's how you get it out of you. This is what I was told at the time.
All the cranberries and stuff.
Yeah.
Just flush it out, Sam.
But cranberry juice is good for everything, isn't it? Because I've got a cold at the moment.
So. It's good for your throat.
Really? Because that's what I'm struggling with now.
Oh, is it? Because I get tonsillitis a lot, as we know. So, you know, cranberry juice on it.
This year, I've had more sore throats than ever before in my life.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is, but at the moment I'm struggling with the worst sore throat ever, to the point where I'm waking up in the mornings claustrophobic because I can't breathe. Because that's what it feels like.
This show is meant to be young, hip, for the young people. We just sound like a couple of old cronies talking about our aches and pains and illnesses and incontinence, literally.
I'm getting excuses in now.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about the fact I was ill because this is the first one.
Yeah.
People next door, they have the power to turn us off. And I think they're listening.
They could do it at any moment. Just slide it down.
Right. So what I'm saying is...
Please don't.
If I get the excuses in now, if you get the excuses in now... At least then we maybe will have another go at it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They'll realise, ill as well.
Your excuse, you've got a sore throat, you know, you're a bit under the weather, runny nose. Okay, what can my excuse be for being a bit shit?
Oh, I'm trying to think. Are you not ill?
No, I'm fine. I'm actually really good. If I whisper, they won't hear me, right?
No, you're still quite loud. You're speaking into a microphone.
Oh.
Will you do me a favour, Luce?
Yeah.
And this is not good for our first link, but because it was so warm in here when we started, I opened the window to let some air in, but now we can hear every car go past.
I know. It's not sound effects.
Quickly shut it.
I'm on it.
Quickly shut it. Yes, yeah. Welcome along. So first ever, Sam and Lucy. Are we going with Sam and Lucy or Lucy and Sam?
Well.
Because that's what we've been arguing about, isn't it?
You're bossing me about, making me close the window. Right, I'm back. Sam and Lucy, Lucy and Sam. Well, Lucy and Sam sounds better.
I'm
more important. Lucy should go first. Alphabetically, I should go first. It makes sense, Sam.
Well, actually, I've got a jingle that says something about alpha. Well, listen to this.
Right.
Lucy and Sam on FUBAR. It's like Sam and Lucy on FUBAR, but just alphabetical.
Exactly, he makes a good point.
Well, I don't know about that. I was just told that the person with the fewer syllables in their name should go first.
They did just come in and tell us that.
And he's the person who makes the jingles.
Mm.
So if we're going with that, then this makes way more sense.
Sam and Lucy on FUBAR.
Right, this isn't fair because you obviously can't see this, listeners, but Sam is in control of all the buttons and he can do whatever he likes. So he'll do that and put him first.
Lucy on FUBAR.
Yeah, right. Whenever I want.
But the thing is, you clearly brainwashed me because in the intro I said Sam and Lucy.
You did, yeah.
You've brainwashed me. It's in already.
And I started with a Lucy and Sam jingle, so I thought, although I agree that Sam should come before Lucy,
wrong.
I thought for now, I'll play Lucy and Sam jingle just because that'll keep you happy. But then as soon as you started, it was the Sam and Lucy show.
Well, I'm at pains to say it, but I do think Sam and Lucy sounds marginally better.
Thank you.
That does really annoy me, though, because I really wanted to go first.
No,
or
fine.
Maybe we could be like, you know, a rapper or something. So it's like the Lucy Show feat Sam.
The Lucy Show feat Sam.
How do you feel about that?
Well, we'll get the
feet
jingle.
Full stop, Sam.
We'll get the jingle made up and then we'll just have a listen.
So then, like, I'm doing all the boom, and then you just like come on in like
I
all,
do the,
all the girls do, and they're like, yeah, you're that girl.
Right. Well, or it could be Sam feat Lucy. Okay,
no.
And I'll be the R&B singer, like Neo, say, and you can be...
Yeah, you haven't thought about that before.
Well, A little bit. I'll be Neo, and then you can come on and do like my.
Cause I'm gonna be like a Christina Aguilera or something, aren't I? I'll be Robert.
No. I'm thinking Snoop Dogg.
Because
what you'll do, I'll do my R&B song, and you know, like they used to do late noughties. There was this thing that went round, and all pop music was basically an R&B song, and then the third verse was done by a rapper.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, so you want me to be the rapper?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, we all know my rapping skills are second to none, but I'm not sure that's going to work for me.
Okay.
To be honest, I don't think I can be your feet.
No. Wow. No. I'm saying we get the jingles made up and we'll bring them.
All right,
if we're back again, if.
If.
Because
fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, but it is an if, unfortunately, and that's been made very clear. This is what they've said, Sam. This is your one chance.
Oh, Sam.
This is your chance.
This is your
impress.
One chance. Just don't wee everywhere for once, for God's sake, Sam.
Oh, never actually didn't happen. How did we do that in the first link?
I don't know, but it's amazing.
Continent story.
That's running forever now.
The notes I've got written down that I want to talk about in the first link.
Sure.
None of them said incontinence. Not one.
Bold, unlike incontinence. We've got to get that done. You know, sort that out.
I think we should play a song.
Let's do this.
And then we'll come back maybe and talk a bit about South Africa, if that's okay.
If we've got time.
Oh, we should say what's coming up.
Yeah, okay, come on. What's the menu then? Give us your bullet points, Sam.
Okay,
come
right.
on.
Yeah, so also on the bullet points we've got, right, at some point we're going to do Lucy's Twisted Knickers, right? That was going to come soon, but we've had to move things around, so that's not going to be until the second hour.
Yeah, but it's very exciting.
Okay. We're also hopefully going to do Food Bar's Room 101.
Mm-hmm.
That might be scrapped now, because we've had to move things around.
Come on, positive, Sam. Come on, give us some positive.
One thing we're definitely going to do, because there's a guest next door, is When I Grow Up.
Which I'm so psyched for.
Do we explain these as we go, or should we just explain them once we get to them?
Explain it when we get to it. We haven't got time. We need to get these songs rolling.
We're going
to
play a game called Celebrity Chop.
Amazing.
If you're up for it. And you'll be rounding up what's going on this weekend for all those young people. So we'll be talking about
looking
garden
to the
centres.
Weekend.
Yeah.
All the garden centres, incontinence pad offers are across the country.
And I will be taking you around the world in 80 seconds. That's coming up in the second hour. But before all that, I think we do our first feature, which are you aware of? Because I'm pressing the buttons. We're going to do your naughty noughties tune.
God, this is why Sam shouldn't be in charge of the microphone. Well, naughty noughties tune. It's very simple, Sam. So,
naughty noughties tune.
So the aim of this show, we're trying to play you new music, preferably stuff just from 2014, up and coming, maybe stuff you haven't heard that much of, like our opening track by Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars.
Although that's like broke.
But that kind of, that became quite big. We've got more stuff you haven't heard of.
Hopefully.
That was a feat that worked, wasn't it?
That was a feat that
you
worked,
know, you could
be
the Bruno Mars to my Mark Ronson.
Or you could be Matt.
Let's not get into this again. We're trying to play new music and everything like that. But once every show, we're going to do a naughty noughties tune. Because me and Sam love the noughties. And we've agreed this is one of our favourite noughties tune. This is the awesome, the sexy, fantastic Justin Timberlake, Sexy Back.
Justin Timberlake. Sexy Back, your naughty noughties tune.
Yeah!
The first one on a brand new show here on FUBAR Radio, and it's the Sam and Lucy show.
Yeah! Well, that's my favourite bit of that song, by the way.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Timberland's bit.
Yeah! Yeah, that bit.
Because that's a feat, isn't it? That one.
Feat. I could do that! You could do the show, and then I'll just chip in with. I'll be like a hype girl.
Alright then, so you're just going, yeah!
Come on!
Right, okay, then let's try it. Okay. Welcome along to a brand new show here on FUBAR Radio. It's Sam and Lucy on FUBAR Radio, and providing nothing goes wrong in the next 2 hours. Perfect.
Nailed it.
You did. Well, right, go on, tell me about this then. You just got back from holiday.
Yes.
Was it holiday?
Yeah, it was holiday.
Was it business?
It was holiday, but my dad ended up doing some business there. Typical.
What do you mean?
Well, he was like networking and everything whilst we were there, which I did not know was part of the holiday.
But it was supposed to be a holiday.
It was for my 21st birthday.
Right.
I was incredibly spoiled. And me and
Happy
my dad
birthday.
Went to, thank you very much. And me and my dad went to South Africa. What?
Really?
Yeah.
For 21st. Do you know where I went for my 21st?
Stoke.
Yes, I did actually. We went to pick up an Indian takeaway and then we went back to mum and dad's house.
I knew it would be Stoke.
Yeah, that was it.
That's just as good as Cape Town and Kruger National Park.
Right, tell me about it then.
Oh my God, it was amazing. It's one of those things I talk about and everyone's like, yeah, of course it was good, it's a holiday, but I can't express how incredible it was. We did Cape Town and all the like the wine tours, Table Bay,
right.
Saw the penguins, all of that stuff, the Indian Ocean. And then the second half, we went to Kruger and we went on safari, but it was so friggin' scary and amazing. We got chased by elephants, literally. I went horseback. I'm like when a primary school kid comes home from school and tells their mum about the day.
That's what you're
and then we went horse riding, and I rode horseback amongst all the giraffes and all of the zebras. And then this guy had this big gun, had to chase the elephants off with the big gun, and he had a big knife, and he's like the guy from Jumanji, and it was really scary.
You've developed a South African accent there as well. With Jumanji, there's a little bit, wasn't there?
Jumanji.
Just a little bit.
Seriously, it was insane.
So in the same country, you get penguins and
penguins.
What's wrong? Penguins.
Right. Which celebrity is it that can't say penguins?
It's Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Benedict. Anyway,
but he can't say penguin, can he? Yeah.
He's like penguin. Penguin.
We'll have to clip it up.
What about you?
You
go on, say it.
Penguin.
No, it's not a penguin.
Penguin.
No. What the fuck? What's happening?
You say it then.
Penguin.
Penguin.
Penguin. Oh, for God's sake.
Right, okay. You saw these birds that can't fly that are black and white.
Yep.
That are similar to Kit Kats. That's what you saw in South Africa.
Good one.
See, I'm just going to avoid saying
on
it.
On fire. Yep.
And then you, in the same country.
Yep.
You also saw elephants.
Yep.
This would happen normally at a zoo, but I didn't think there was countries that had the climate to accommodate both an elephant and a penguin.
It is amazing. There's this place called Boulders. So it's along the coast where at the Indian Ocean side of Cape Town.
But I don't believe that. I've never been to South Africa, but I know geography.
I'm right.
I don't think
I saw it and there was a sign.
To the Indian Ocean.
Because the southernmost point of South Africa, well, one of the southernmost points of South Africa is in Cape Town.
Okay.
The Cape of Good Hope, and that's where two oceans basically meet. And you go up this like mountain, and you can see one ocean on either side of you. I got a picture. I'll show you. It's really cool. They're like different colours. But yeah, the penguins all chill out there. It's amazing. There's literally thousands of penguins, and everyone's just like, "What the fuck are penguins doing here?" And then yeah, obviously out in the bush, you've got all the Lion King kind of animals.
Yeah,
I saw lion cubs. It was amazing.
Okay,
it was quite scary but cool.
Did you do any football stadium tours?
Oh my God, it's funny you say that. Two football related things. One,
that's what I do.
I had a Mexican by the main football stadium in Cape Town, which I can't remember what it's called.
Stadium of Light.
And
I don't know.
Not a clue. That big one that they did for the World Cup.
Yeah.
And I played football with an elephant.
You what?
Football with an elephant.
In one of these stadiums?
Not in a stadium.
Because that is a feat.
Did it out in the bush. They have these rescue elephants. And the girl one is really good at football. Like, she's a mate. Genuinely, she can aim. Like, you'll point to someone for her to pass it to, and she'll kick the ball over. I've got a video of the guy elephant doing it, but he was really rubbish. He just kept fetching us sticks. It was really weird.
Who's taught an elephant to play football?
Well, they're rescue elephants because they were going to get culled in the big elephant cull of like 10 years ago, which is a thing. We culled badgers, they culled friggin' elephants.
I thought we were short for elephants. I thought we needed them.
Well, not in certain areas. That's the problem. It's like buffalo. They were culling buffalo because of like TB, for example.
Right.
But now they got no buffalo because they culled them.
We'd kill for a buffalo now, wouldn't we?
Exactly. So now they're having to breed them.
Animal
conservation 101, Sam.
Why can't we just be moving elephants around? I'm not saying stick them on flights, I'm saying stick them on boats.
That does happen sometimes, but sometimes like the males will get attacked because they'll get rejected from the herds. And if you just bring in like a new, like if someone just brought in like you nuclear family, your parents, you got any siblings?
I've got siblings, yeah.
Yeah, with your siblings. And someone just brought a random like 40-year-old bloke in.
And
hello.
Right, and he was going to be my new dad.
Hello.
But that does happen, doesn't it? Whether you like it or not.
So well, yeah, but
it's not happened to me.
Yeah,
but
what if you didn't have your like super ego that could control your carnal desires, and you like wanted to stab him or something like elephants do? Because obviously
they're not human, so they're good, quite happy
good
to
start.
Attack.
Yep, not human.
So what you're saying is,
yep,
I need to put myself in the situation of an elephant and imagine that my mum brought another man home.
Yeah.
And I wanted to attack him.
And you could, because you're like you're meant to be the young virile elephant that's meant to be taking over this herd. But then this new guy comes in, you're like, fuck you, bitch, and like swipe him.
See, I think that does actually happen, doesn't it?
What, in the animal kingdom?
No, in real, they were humans, in human kingdom.
Well, step-parent resentment. I mean, I don't know, my parents are still together and it's all fine, but I assume it happens. I mean, I don't think they swipe them with their trunks, but...
How have we got onto this from South Africa?
It's ridiculous.
But it was good, though.
Yeah, well done.
Really good? No, South Africa.
Oh, South Africa, good.
Yeah. No, I don't mean that conversation.
I the conversation. I was like, are we rating the conversation?
No, we're not
rating.
Although we could do that. That's a new feature. Could.
That was a six.
That was a six. Okay, we'll keep doing it. Every link will finish with a rating.
Yeah, six. Solid six.
I think we'll talk about what we're doing next quickly.
Oh, very exciting.
Play a song and then get the guest in. Tell me what's going on next.
So what's coming up is the first time we're doing our very favourite feature, which is called When I Grow Up. So basically the idea behind this is everyone knows how to become a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor.
University.
Yeah, those are boring jobs. You know, you go to uni, do this, that, the other. Or like, you know, want to work with cars, go do an apprenticeship. No. Screw that. That's already boring. We want to find out.
I don't think you can say that because there is people out there who would love to do that.
Screw that. So we find out how
but
you become.
True. I'm challenging you on this, and I didn't think it would ever be this way round. I thought it'd be you challenging me on something, but I don't think you can say.
Oh, for goodness sake!
That's boring because there is people who want to do that.
I'm not saying it's boring.
And I think on another show we will tackle that.
I'm
but
just
for today,
saying we all know like what you know the path you have to go down to do those jobs.
Yeah.
Like those kind of career jobs. But I want to know how you become like, I don't know, a DJ, a footballer, all of these kind of cool jobs. Yeah, really cool. Okay. Cowboy, can you be lumberjack? How do you do this? So today we've got a really exciting job that we want to find out. How do you become one? What's it like? What do you actually do all day apart from, you know, be really cool? And today's job is music producer / music writer. And we have a wonderful guest to name. His name is Pete Rycroft. He now goes under the name Lost Boy. And he is both a music producer and a writer, a very good friend of mine. And after the song, we'll be talking to him some more.
It's one of your choices.
Oh, is it?
British Sea Power. Wave. I've never heard it before. So
I'm
it might
supporting
not be.
Them on Friday night at gig.
Really?
Anybody listening in Brighton, seriously, come along Friday night, The Horn. Everyone in Brighton will know it. It's one of the big clubs in the centre of town. And British Sea Power are doing their Christmas Cranking House, which is this big Christmas gig, and I'm playing with them.
What's this one called?
Waving Flags,
yes,
I believe.
It is.
That was British Sea Power with Waving Flags. I genuinely absolutely love that song. I don't know if everyone else in the studio is loving it as much as I am. But now I'm excited to say the feature, When I Grow Up, we are joined by a lovely guest, Pete Rycroft. Hello, Pete.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. This is quite surreal being here with you.
Yeah,
now.
Just a little bit of history. Me and Pete did a radio show together when we were 15?
Yeah, it was much worse than this
one.
It was awful. That.
Well, it was, honestly.
Musatious, it was called. Yeah.
It was called what?
Musatious.
Musatious. Explain that.
Pete?
I think the definition is something to do with bananas. That's what I remember.
Musatious is something about the love of bananas, but we just liked it as a word. Pete was just going through the dictionary looking at words.
We thought we were funny. And,
yeah.
You know, it
didn't work.
No.
And whoever was in control of that radio station said, yeah, musatious, this word that is a little bit about bananas, that's okay, you can call your show that.
Yeah,
they did not care.
Yeah.
It was North Cotswold Community Radio.
I've told you about the name I gave to my community radio show when I was 16.
Oh, yeah.
Was Fluorescent Adolescent.
Which is much better.
Oh, that is much better.
That's actually a really good name.
Do you think?
I really like it.
I look back
it's
at it now
cheesy.
And think it's awful. But then it is Arctic Monkeys lyrics, so
yeah. Arctic Monkeys, no, timeless.
See, I was thinking you were going to tell me that was awful.
No, I like
okay,
it.
Well,
but I like
okay.
a bit of cheese. Anyway, Sam, it's not all about you.
No, it's not all about
it's
me.
All about
you're
Pete.
Right.
So, Pete, I describe you as a music producer / music writer. Is that about right? Is that the kind of thing you're doing at the moment?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, when you say music writer, I guess that's quite vague. And obviously there are all sorts of people who write all sorts of different music. But I would say the majority of what I do is songwriting. And it's sort of more commercial, the commercial end of that. So, chart music essentially, what you would hear on charts if it does well, obviously. And production nowadays sort of tends to go hand in hand with that. So, as a producer, as a songwriter at least, you need to have a certain level of production to be able to get demos and things to a really good level. And when you send them off, people are like, "Well, this is pretty much the finished product." You know, and they can see the potential.
Yeah.
So a publisher will sign a song to someone, or yeah.
Awesome. Now, obviously, I know because I've basically been a fan of yours since we were like 12 or whatever.
Literally.
So I know how it's all happened. But for everyone else out there, like, I really want to be a songwriter. I really want to produce music. How do you go about doing this? Like, how do you get into this? How do you even start?
I wish I knew. I mean, it sounds ridiculous. It sounds so cliche, but, you know, it's sort of that thing is, I don't know, as I was growing up, the only thing that I really sort of enjoyed at school mm-hmm. was music and drama, actually.
Yeah.
And they, you know, and I think there's a lot of, in what I do, there's a lot of, the biggest, the most important thing is being able to get on with people and communicate with people really well and be as outgoing as possible and just make people really comfortable so that they can give the best performance or mm-hmm. write the best possible music. And so a lot of that comes from drama, and obviously the music side comes sure. from music. But in terms of actually getting to where I am now, it's just, you just have to be fucking lucky. I mean, really.
Do you think?
I think, I mean, obviously, it's all about perseverance, and you just have to keep going. And if it's what you really want to do, you just have to keep working and make as much stuff as you can and just socialize as much as possible with people in the industry. Just annoy people, send emails every day. Mm-hmm. I was doing that, been doing that for the last 2 years, and it sort of works eventually if you yeah. don't get on people's nerves. And yeah, I mean, it's just, you've just got to, if it's really what you want to do, you just got to keep bashing away at it.
Yeah.
Basically. But I mean, it's quite different to any other career in the sense that you don't necessarily need a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a big...
And you didn't do a degree, did you?
No. Although...
You got offered.
When I first... Yeah, I got into Lipa in Liverpool originally to do production. And then I realised... In the sort of, I had a year out of school mm-hmm. when I left sixth form, touring with a little blues band, and that was when I started to write for some artists in London as well. And one of them was signed to a very big management company at the time. And I just sort of realised when I was having meetings with them and with him that everything, pretty much everything, music-wise, is in London. And being in Liverpool would be a massive sort of, it's like a microclimate of music in Liverpool.
Yeah, sure.
So
you can't take your foot off the accelerator at any point, really, can you? You've just got to.
Not really, but then if it's what you love, it's kind of easy not to do that. Yeah.
What were your first steps? Because we've talked about music in school, and then it's like your gap year where you're touring with a blues band, you're starting to write. Was that the step? Was it the beginning to write when you're working with this blues band? Because I feel to me that's a massive step. Like there must be a bit you missed out.
Yeah. There probably is. Yeah. I mean, always in bands from sort of when I first started secondary school, basically. I was in a lot of really crap rock and metal bands.
they played at my year 7 birthday party.
Yeah,
I'll remember that when you're famous, Pete, that Undecided played at my year 7 disco.
We were pretty cheap,
just,
I think.
Just chucking that in there.
I've always been playing in crap bands and then trying to record those crap bands and make it not sound as crap. And that's how I got into... production, really. And then one day, as a joke, I have a friend called Joe who's really into electronic music, and I hated it at the time. I was a proper sort of metalhead. I love rock and really against any sort of pop, really. And he was just like, you should try and make a electronic track, and I did. I just made this, it started off as a joke, and then that track was what got picked up by the management in London, and that's when everything started to go a bit mental.
So how old were you at that time?
18.
Right. So you'd never worked with electronic music until you were 18?
Maybe a little bit, but not seriously, no.
Was that all like computer-based, all software-based?
Yes.
When you produced that, there wasn't anything else?
Well, I think I recorded a bit of real piano
and
things like that, but yeah, it was... You know, it's all on the PC. Really.
That is something I was wondering for production, because obviously you're actually a very good musician as well. You play piano and you're also a very good drummer. But do you think that's necessary to be able to play instruments, to be a producer? I mean, songwriter, it seems quite obvious, you know, playing mm-hmm. guitar or piano would help. But in production, what do you think?
I mean, it depends what you take from the word production. It means different things to different people.
Sure.
There are lots of old school producers who are just... They're just like a sort of creative director, if you will. So they'll sit back and tell people what to do, and they'll have a mixing engineer and a recording engineer, mm-hmm. and they do it all. But in this sort of day and age, you know, you're sort of doing everything at once, and it's definitely a massive advantage if you can understand what someone is doing, and especially if it's vocals, if you can sort of help them and guide them a little bit, then it's, and just encourage them more than anything. That's definitely a massive
So
help.
Overall, thumbs up to being a music producer, do you think, or too much hard
my
work?
Life.
No, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's good fun. I mean, it's, you know, it's a bit sketchy in terms of income, obviously. I mean, it's quite polarised. You're either doing really well or not so well. There's not really a middle ground where it's like, I'm comfortable. Mm. But yeah, it's getting there, and it's a lot of fun, obviously.
Do you mind me asking what your income is based, like, where do you get, where's it come from now? I mean, are you signed to a label and you're working on their productions?
Well, that's surely sort of, that's in the works at the moment. Can't really talk about that too much, but before that, it was mainly sort of working with independent artists and sort of, so I'd do like a album or an EP for a certain price or whatever, and that would be just production. But then more recently, I've been doing a lot of writing, and that gets much more complicated, but it can be much more financially beneficial in terms of like signing a song to an artist, and then if that song gets played anywhere, you get a bit of money, kind of thing. So it starts to build up a lot fairly quickly if you're a good writer. And if you sign a publishing deal, then things really start to kick off and you can get cuts all over the place and suddenly you're sort of surrounded by money. But that hasn't happened to me yet. Just to
be clear. I was
going to
say, let's go to the bar after. Champagne on pee.
It's not happened yet. So, but it's heading that way, luckily for me. So it's good, yeah. I mean, I would say a really important thing is to find a good manager who you trust and who has a lot of connections and can really sort of let you just focus on your art. And then you don't have to worry about talking to people and organising shit all the time.
So presumably you've got a good manager.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
When did he get involved? And how did you go about that? Is it a case of you approaching him and saying, this is what I can do? Or is he searching for you?
Well, I've had a few sort of trials with different people. And I've actually only been with him for a couple of months. But it was basically, I think the track you're going to play, possibly, that was played on Radio 1 a couple of times. And I know of a lot of people who are friends with him. He used to be a boss of a lot of labels, major labels. I think he heard it on there, or a friend of his heard it on there and passed stuff on. And it's just, you know, word of mouth, I think.
I think it makes sense to play that song you're talking about now.
Yeah, go
for it. We'll come back. There's still questions I want to ask, but it's PJRR.
That was my name at the time.
Name at the time.
Different alias, kind of.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And your current alias?
Lost Boy.
Lost Boy.
Can you
Fabulous.
Believe it?
And we'll talk about the difference between the two, I think, the two aliases after this. PJRR, which I've struggled with all week.
That's why it's changed.
It's a tricky one, so that's why, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
But it's called Moth, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was Moth by PJRR, now Lost Boy, featuring the lovely singer. I love her voice, Camilla Lovett. I feel like she's got a bit of a Ellie Goulding kind of thing going on there.
It's mental. Like, recording her voice is just stupid. It's so easy. Like, I didn't really do anything.
So what happened with that track? Because that got really successful, Moth.
Yeah, it was very weird. It just sort of, I don't know, I decided it was about time to put something out just under my name. I just wanted it to be sort of private, kind of for friends or whatever. And just put it on SoundCloud. And actually, well, it was released on iTunes independently, but just through me. And then it ended up on its first couple of days getting to the top 5 in electronic charts on iTunes in the UK.
Wow.
And number 3 in Ireland for some reason.
Wow.
Very weird. And it did quite well in Canada as well.
How did that happen? Because no matter how good a track is, it needs something behind it, surely. Some kind of buzz.
Yeah,
somebody needs to be writing about it.
It is kind of the buzz, and it's also, you know, I have a lot of contacts now. Like I said, I've just been pestering people for 2 years. So there's a lot of people who know who I am and that will help me out. But yeah, a lot of blogs picked up on it. And sort of once one blog gets it, all the other blogs look at it and go, oh, I like that. And they all sort of steal off each other, so it can sort of snowball into something.
So that was under PJRR.
Yes.
Now your new alias is Lost Boy.
Yes.
I want to know what, well, I think I can guess why you changed. But also, yeah. Lost Boy, where's that come from? Like, is it going to be new music or?
Yeah, there'll be new music. And I mean, the Lost Boy name, everything is happening under that now. So I do a lot of pop writing for other people.
Mm-hmm. Like who?
Well, I can't say everybody, but there's a guy called Damien Ike who's doing really well at the moment. He's releasing something in February, and that's his debut single, which I wrote and produced. So that's quite fun. And then I changed to Lost Boy because it was my initials. PJR is my initials, and it's just a really awkward name. No one can say it. Sam,
no,
I can't say it. And it's quite hard to search as well on Google. So Lost Boy, we arrived at that somehow. And it's because, well, it's basically I've always had a sort of connection with Peter Pan when I was born, and obviously I'm called Peter, if you didn't know. When I was born, I was given like a first edition book of Peter Pan and things like that. So I've just always sort of been connected with that. And obviously the Lost Boys in Peter Pan, that's where that came from, basically.
Yeah. And also, you have really gone off and done your own thing. Because, I mean, obviously we went to the same school and grew up together and everything. Everyone pretty much has gone off and done the university, or they've gone into a steady job, and we're going through the motions, the normal things. Everyone's applying for proper jobs now. But you just were like, oh, fuck that, I'm going to do what I want to do. And we were so amazed. You just literally went off and did all this stuff yourself, you know. You are Peter Pan.
That's beautiful. I'll put that on my tombstone. To be honest, you make it sound a lot more romantic than it is. I just sort of thought I could spend 30 grand on stuff, learning things that I might already know or that I don't need to be taught from someone. Or I can use that money in other ways.
Yeah.
So I just bought lots of
I feel shit. Both me and Sam are at university, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, I mean, like, obviously it's the right thing to do for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But in this particular industry, you can't take your degree to Sony and be like, sign me. That doesn't work.
Has there ever been any doubt, though? Because seeing what must be difficult, I think, is seeing your friends go off to university and that being kind of like... Because for a lot of areas, that's the done thing.
Yeah.
You do your A levels and then you're off. And then for a while, once your friends are gone, you must have still been at home, presumably, in your mum and dad's house. And was the doubts at that point thinking,
definitely,
have I done the right thing?
Definitely. So in that year where I was touring with the band, there was a lot of, when we weren't touring, I was at home. And I was doing production and things at home, but everyone had gone off to uni and it was like, you know, freshers, everyone's going mad. I was just sat at home, like in the Cotswolds. Sort of twiddling my thumbs and just thinking, oh shit, I might have fucked this up. And then that's when I started working with Damien Ike. So that was ages ago. He sort of convinced me to move to London, that I needed to be in London. So and at that point I was going to go to Lipper, so I was going to go to university, but I was a year behind. And then I just thought, you know what, let's just do it. So yeah.
So what does the future hold? Have you got plans in the pipeline? Like, what do you want to do?
I mean, in the short term, it's basically I've been writing for a lot of different people. There's lots of exciting music coming with Damien Ike, which a lot of his album, I've written and produced. I'm also MD of his band, so that's quite exciting.
Oh, cool.
And then there's going to be more stuff under the Lost Boy name coming out as a sort of artist producer, so similar to that track you just played.
Oh, so your name, it's your work there, and it'll be featuring a vocalist, presumably.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. Or I might sing.
Pete's a really good singer as well. Like, you could do everything, this is annoying.
No. So this stuff you're writing for Damien Ike, you're writing and producing it, presumably you've penned the lyrics, it's your track, am I right?
Not quite. I mean, it depends who you work with, it's different for everyone, but he's a very good lyricist. And we both work on the lyrics and melody. I do a majority of the music stuff, but in terms of the actual top line, it's both of us, so yeah.
I just think, do you not think to yourself that maybe this is a waste of my talents for then it not be my voice on the record and my name on the track?
Not at all. I mean, it's like, I don't know, I'm very proud of that stuff, and also you have to remember, it's quite hard to explain, but from a publishing point of view, as in income-wise, then if that track does well. So, for example, if I'd co-written Stay With Me by Sam Smith, which I haven't, unfortunately, I would be rolling in it right now, like Jimmy Napes is, and that's massively boosted his career and his, you know, he's a prolific songwriter now, and he's sort of the go-to guy because of this hit, so... that can be a massive thing for your career in general. But yeah, but then I like to have the sort of artist stuff on the side as well, so you have your own vein where you can sort of show off a bit and do your stuff.
Is that like kind of the way it works in the industry? Is there a lot of producers who are working with other guys who have then got this?
Yes.
Their own.
You know? I mean, to be honest with you, that pretty much everyone is doing that now, because you can't. It's very rare that you can just be like, right, this is just me. For example, so if you look at Disclosure, they wrote a lot of Sam Smith's album, and a lot of people don't know that. So, like, I'm not the only one. I know they have writing cuts on that, and you wouldn't expect that necessarily, but they're both, because all you hear is this sort of electronic dance music from them, but they're both very good musicians and writers. So, and obviously Sam Smith came to light with their song Latch anyway, so it's sort of back and forth, and yeah, it's just sort of vital nowadays, because that's where the income stream mainly is in sort of publishing.
I think it's still a relatively new thing that we've got now producers. I mean, last five years that now producers are pop stars in their own right. Yep. For example, Disclosure. I mean, you use the example there that they've written a lot of Sam Smith stuff, but actually it was him being on their record that brought him into pop music. Yep. So that's what I'm trying to ask, I guess, is that where you want to end up, where it's kind of Lost Boys featuring somebody else and you're a pop star in your own right? Is that the goal?
That's a possible goal. I mean, I don't want to have a concrete goal right now, because it's hard to say how things will change. Obviously, I might become best mates with Beyonce, and then I'd probably be like,
oh my God, please do that.
Bae, can you do a track? That'd be great. But I don't know, yeah. I mean, that would be nice, but I just don't really know, sorry, yet. I mean, it's sort of all just go with the flow kind of thing.
Is there any snobbery for you? Is there any artist that you look at in the pop world and just think that is awful? There's a lot of good pop music around at the moment, I think, and there's some of the names you've mentioned there are examples of that, but there's also a lot of rubbish. And as a producer, this probably applies to loads of producers. Is there people you just think, I never want to sound like that, I never want to work with somebody like that?
I've heard a lot of horror stories, and I've worked with some people who are absolute dicks, and it's like, you know, that you're going to get people in any industry that sort of just don't really click with people and frustrate people. But that's what I was saying earlier, like, this is one of the most important things. You have to be able to just be nice to everybody, get on with everybody, even if they are a dick. Like, just, you have to get the best out of them. There's definitely some snobbery and you know, people judge people a lot, like anything. But it's, you know, it's fine, really.
You may back this question right back at me, but I just wanted to talk quickly about ghostwriting and ghost producing, because I believe ghost producing kind of a new thing. It's come along with these producers that are pop stars,
yeah,
and these kind of massive people who, according to the internet, don't write anything that they put out there under their name. I just wondered if you could kind of talk about how big of how common it is in the industry, and in your opinion, does it have any place for people to be ghost producing for these bigger names?
I think it, yeah. So first of all, it is fairly common, but I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I mean, if you think about it, what I do and what lots of most writers do is ghost writing, if you will. So yeah, you're writing for pop stars, and I don't think anyone should ever be like, well, if they didn't write the song, then, you know, what's the point? They have no talent. Because at the end of the day, these people are performers, really, / recording artists. So it's their voice and it's their recording. It's not, just because they haven't written it doesn't mean they have no input whatsoever. And I think it's often the case that people sort of, like a lot of people, hate One Direction, for example. I love One Direction. Like,
great.
They're insane. They're doing so well. They're having the time of their lives. And like, why would you, the only people try and put them down because they haven't written stuff on their album. And in fact, this last album, they have written a lot of the stuff themselves. But in the past, you know, they have a massive team of writers. And it's just like, at the end of the day, they're incredible performers, and the proof is in the pudding. Like, you know, absolutely, they're the biggest band in the world.
So have you got any messages for aspiring young producers and writers or anything to leave us with?
just stay good friends with your mum and dad. I don't know, just don't give up. That's so cliche, but...
Well, if it's true, it's what you've got to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true, of course it's true, but it's like that with everything, isn't it? Just always, always, always talk to people, even if you feel like the most annoying person in the world, just try and just make as many contacts as you can.
Pete, thanks so much for joining us. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Lucy and Sam on FUBAR.
Welcome back to Sam and Lucy. I'll correct that jingle. Sam and Lucy here on FUBAR Radio. I'm not being an idiot. We've agreed on that now, Luce.
Yeah, begrudgingly agreed that it's Sam and Lucy.
Sam and Lucy.
I still think Lucy and Sam is better, but...
No, you don't.
Well, I think Lucy and Sam's better because my name goes first. I know Sam and Lucy sounds better.
Sounds way better.
But I still think, you know, the Lucy show... Feet Sam.
Lucy. Well, we'll get those jingles made up because I actually do find that quite funny. I'll be honest, I do. Okay. Pete's happy, is he? He's had a drink now.
Yeah, Pete, thank you so much to Pete Rycroft there, Lost Boy, and his music production and writing advice to everybody. Hope that was helpful to aspiring producers and writers out there. But yeah, his track Moth, I know, is available to download on iTunes and also his SoundCloud. If you search Lost Boy SoundCloud, you'll find it. He's got some amazing stuff there, and he's working with big people like Damien Eich and stuff, but he's also got people that we went to school with who I never knew could sing. Like this guy I always just knew worked in the co-op. Pete done a track with him and he's amazing. Like,
really?
Yeah, yeah. So listen out for that. Pete's now just having a water, chilling out backstage in the green room. He's happy.
Is that what we're calling it? The green room?
The green room.
The black room. It's very dark in there, I always think.
Yeah, it's quite dark. Yeah. The dingy green room.
The dingy green room.
Mm.
But that feature can stay, I think. I like that. I
mean,
I don't know if the guests we
have.
Yes, it has got to. I mean, hopefully we'll have guests as good as Pete.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly you've kicked it off with a bang. Well done.
Thank
Lucy.
You.
You've not brought more.
Huh.
Huh. You keeping that going?
Yeah.
Really?
Come on.
I think, leave it. You've got another feature coming up here, Lucy's Twisted Knickers.
I have.
I don't know about it yet because there's something I want to tell you about.
Oh, okay. What's that?
Have you heard of DJ Earworm?
I have.
You have?
Very recently, literally at the weekend.
Okay, well, I'm going to speak to listeners for a second. Listeners, okay. Have you heard of DJ Earworm?
No, Sam.
That's what I thought. And don't judge him for his weird name, because it's an awful name, isn't it?
DJ Earworm?
Absolutely.
See, I quite like
it. It's awful.
Yeah, but I just like stupid things. Like, ridiculous, stupid things. I don't like it when people take themselves seriously.
Yeah, I see your point, but I just think it's that ridiculous. I'm just looking at that and just thinking, why?
Right.
Why is he thinking DJ Earworm works?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're used to it now, because, I mean, for those who don't know, he's been around for a while. He's this kind of mash-up producer. Well, so have you only heard him for the first time this year?
I literally heard him, like, a week ago.
Okay.
Because my friend said, oh, you'll like this.
Right.
She doesn't talk like that.
Tell me what you've heard.
Well, all I heard was that she sent me his mashup of, I think, was it 2013 or something?
2013, okay.
She sent me the one from last year because there were some songs on there I really liked and played all the time. And it was amazing. He mashes all the songs together and
there's
so many different songs in there.
So each year, I mean, he does a lot of bits and bobs throughout the year, lots of mashups, but at the end of each year,
mm-hmm.
he puts together kind of a mashup which includes, I believe, 25 of the biggest songs. He is American, so he picks the American biggest songs, but of course,
okay.
Pop music, you will know every single song in this, despite it being America's biggest 25
Even
songs.
Even me, who's a bit rubbish with chart music.
Oh,
and
right, okay.
And by a bit rubbish, we mean very rubbish.
Well, this is good, because what I was going to do is play it to you,
uh-huh.
and then ask you to keep note throughout.
Oh, no.
In a new game I've come up with called Earworm Bingo.
Oh, Sam!
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you've surpassed yourself there,
Sam. We can only play it once a year, because he only does this in November. You know. Well, I think, yeah, it's a limited game. He put it together throughout November. It was released early December, I believe. You can go and get it mm-hmm. now. You can actually buy the record.
Oh, can you? Okay, cool.
You can buy it, yeah. One of these places I tried to buy it from, though, it tried to make me buy every single song that features on the single with it.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do that.
No.
Because, I mean, I like the mashup, but I'm not so sure about some of the pop songs in there,
mm-hmm.
as I'm sure you won't be.
Yeah.
But what I'm asking you to do, Luce, is just write, keep a note.
Okay.
Of every song you think you can hear in this next record.
Oh, all my right, God, then. I am so bad with pop music, but I'll do my best. I will do my utmost to do you proud, Sam, but I'm not making any promises that I'll get more than 3.
Okay, then, well, you know, give it a go. There's 25 to get.
Okay.
All right.
I'm ready.
It's DJ Earworm. It's called the United States of Pop Mashup 2014.
Crap name.
DJ DJ Earworm and his United States of Pops mashup 2014. Did you listen to any of that? Because I'd just seen you. Someone's taking your tea order.
I did the little tea hand sign for the tea.
But were you listening to the...
I did, and I think for me, I've done very well, considering okay, I know nobody in the world of pop. So do you want to hear what I've got?
Yeah, okay, and I'll tick them off as you go.
All right.
Okay.
Swifty.
Can you name the track?
That one?
Swifty. No. That's not...
Won't stop, can't stop grooving. Player's gonna play, play.
Play, 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 play. Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. 1 point, Lucy.
And then after that, I struggled.
You struck by. Come on.
Is her name All About That Bass, But That Bass? Is that Meghan Trainor?
Another point, Max. You got two so far.
Was Nicki Minaj in there?
There was a bit of Nicki Minaj.
Bit of Anaconda?
Ah, see. That's one of the ones that isn't on there.
Ah, shit.
Because I've been through and tried to work out what I think are the biggest songs of the year that don't feature on this track.
But that is one of them, isn't it?
No, that's one of the ones that I've worked out that should have been on there.
Yeah, it should have been. Okay.
Right, so no points for Anaconda, but there is Nicki Minaj on there.
Do I get half a Nicki Minaj?
Well, you're going to have to give me more than that, I think.
Nicki Minaj...
Well, go on, I'll give you half of that, because Nicki Minaj...
Thanks.
...for Jessie J and Ariana Grande... Track's called Bang Bang, that was on there.
Oh, yeah, whatever. No one's heard that.
Oh, they have. I mean, I'm not a big fan, but yeah, that's...
All right.
That's been in chart music.
I also got... Gonna Speak the Language.
Which is by who?
That chap.
That chap. That's all you're giving me? No more than that chap.
Alan Rickman or...
Alan Rickman?
Yeah. With Gonna Speak the Language. Yep, that's... Yep, 1 point for me.
No, that's Jason Derulo.
Yeah, him and Alan Rickman. Aliases, isn't it? Different aliases.
Really?
Yep.
Different?
Yep. Frozen song.
Right, that's a point. So now you're on 3.5.
Let it go.
Do you have a name for the artist?
Is it Adele Menzila?
Adina Menzel. Let It Go was on there.
Okay, I'm doing well.
So far.
What's the one that goes, like, it's really high-pitched? It's like, wap, 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 wap. No, I just did language again.
You just did Jason Derulo.
Oh, it's another one. It was, like, high-pitched, like, electro sound. All right, I'm going to leave that then. I don't know that. Ellie Goulding,
which track, please?
That new one she did.
I'm trying to look now. She's gotten loads of new ones.
The one with Calvin Harris?
Okay, right, she's got a current one, Calvin Harris, but the older one could well be on it. But do you know, I'm struggling at my... I'm looking at my sheet now and I'm thinking, where the hell is Ellie Goulding? Because she's definitely on there, because I heard it myself.
I heard the...
Yes, it was definitely... right, we'll say you've got another point.
And then my last ones, I've got George Ezra, is that his name?
Yes, he exists.
Is he not on there?
He lives, but he's not on there.
For God's sake, Sam Smith.
Sam Smith's on there.
Stay
With Me is a track.
And then... At the bottom, I've just written, probably not, but might as well, 1D?
One Direction, Story of My Life is somewhere in that record.
And after that, I've just written down, like, wap, 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 do-do-do-do-do, as if that would help me remember.
It's not going to.
So.
No. So, bam, bam, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
I've done terribly.
Seven. 7 out of 25. Is it worth me mentioning the ones you missed?
Can I have the highlights, please? Right. Like the really famous ones.
Maroon 5, Animals.
Oh, yeah. I don't like Maroon 5 anymore.
No?
I like their old stuff.
John Legend, All of Me. Apparently that was a big record this year.
I gave you all.
I think that was a third highest selling record this year.
Yeah, a bit samey.
Iggy Azalea and Rita Ora, Black Widow is on there.
Never heard of it.
Okay, yeah.
I've heard of Rita Ora.
It's not great. A Christina Aguilera track, which I've never heard of, is on there, but apparently it was big in the States over this year.
Nope.
Tuvlo, a name that I'm still struggling with. And it seems every DJ I hear back announce this artist, they say it different every time. But a Scandinavian artist called Tuvlo, and the track's called Stay High. Have you heard of it?
Right. If you can't even say it, how am I expected to know this? It's me.
Tuvlo.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. It's on there anyway.
Useless.
Passenger, Let Her Go, was on there. I think that was big the year before here. Do you know Passenger?
I'm really sorry, I don't.
You don't know Passenger.
I haven't got a clue.
Nico and Vins.
No.
No idea, have you?
No.
Magic. Have you heard of Magic?
I've heard of Magic.
No, not the...
The concept.
No, not the... Yeah. Not the concept, the band.
No.
Right, they're on.
It's a kind of magic. No, I know that. It's not. Is that. It that?
No, it's a song called Rude. Why you gotta be so rude?
Why you gotta be so? Yeah, that was playing at the club on Friday night.
Yes, it was.
Shaking my rooty.
There's some Katy Perry in there, some Pitbull in there, some Jeremiah, Pharrell Williams, Happy. See, you should have just been guessing.
I could have guessed that one, couldn't I? Even I know that.
Bastille Pompey, Lord T.
Was that in there?
Yes, it was.
I didn't hear that.
But that was
that was like 2 years ago or something.
But I think
it?
In America it's different. They make up their own rules, don't they?
Bloody Americans making up the earworm rules.
There's more Iggy Azalea, more Ariana Grande, but you did awfully, I have to say.
Well, what did you expect when the first music thing I talked about today was brass bands? Literally, what do you expect from me?
No, I thought you know, you had an interest in everything.
I wrote down, I got Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And I got the Frozen song.
7 out of 25. Right, we'll be playing Earworm Bingo this time next year.
Is that a promise?
Yeah,
we'll have an annual meet-up.
And we'll just do that. Well, no, we'll still hopefully have the show by then.
Yeah, every year.
And this time, December-ish, every year, we'll play Earworm Bingo.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
That's okay with me.
Okay, sweet. A more regular feature, or certainly we plan for it to be more regular, is Lucy's Twisted Knickers.
Yeah, we're more in my territory now.
Definitely.
I clearly knew F all about pop music, but I do know about UK politics law.
See, yay! That's something I don't know about.
Everybody excited for the UK politics law.
This is why it works.
This is why we work so well together, Sam.
I bring Swifty, you bring the politics.
I bring Ed Miliband.
Yeah. Perfect. Right, so Lucy Twisted Knickers, what is the plan? Because basically, I just thought it'd be an angry Lucy coming each week and saying why she's particularly angry this week.
Well, yeah, I mean, I am a very angry person and I always have a gripe. But I feel like, you know, the young people need their gripes being heard. So whether it's student rent being ridiculous, which anybody that's a student has ever rented anywhere knows that they just take you for a bloody ride. It's really annoying. But this week's one, I feel, is something that literally no one talks about. And my Twisted Knickers theme this week is about minimum wage. But wait, it's not just minimum wage, because everybody does talk about that, rightfully so. What I want to know is why there's a different bracket for 18 to 21 and under 18. I do not think it's fair in the slightest that they get paid a lot less. So at the moment, the current minimum wage rate is, for 21 and over, is £6.50 an hour. 18 to 20, £5.13. And as someone who's just come out of working in retail and turned 21 whilst working there, I found it incredibly unfair. And my main issue with it is there's no difference between, if you're a student, so someone like me, I get a loan, so okay, I get paid less. But what if, you know, you're between 18 and 21, or even under 18, and you're not in education? You know, you're a 19-year-old, you haven't gone to university, you couldn't afford it, you didn't get the grades, you just didn't want to, but you're getting paid less than everyone around you. It's totally unfair. And apart from the old Guardian article from, like, 2012, there's nothing about this anywhere.
We do have a guest on this, and before we get to it, what I need to clear up is, what's your bigger issue? The fact that as soon as... Is it the under-18s that you're worried about, or is it that bracket 18 to 21?
I'm more worried about 18 to 21 because now the education laws are changing that you have to stay in school till you're 18. I do feel it's less of an issue that they're getting paid less. I still think that £3.79 is an absolute joke and that's not acceptable. But it's mainly 18 to 21's not getting paid enough.
Okay, so that's the bigger issue, this silly little bracket, the three-year bracket. As soon as you turn 18, that should be it then, in your opinion.
Exactly, that's an adult.
Okay, who do we have coming on to talk about this?
We've got the lovely Tom Mendelson, who is an online editor for the Independent newspaper. He's worked there for years now, and he specialises in student area and student issues, and also a little bit of education. And he's going to be telling us his views on this and what he thinks the issues really are.
Okay, we'll do that next, after one of your picks, Lucy. Nice Little Penguins.
Oh, Nice Little Penguins. This is a mad song. This actually came out in the 90s, which I know we're not allowed to do, but it's recently become a massive hit in Denmark again this year.
You're making this up.
I'm so not.
What's it called?
It's called Flying by Nice Little Penguins.
Flying by Little Nice Penguins, is that right?
Right, first of all, it's Nice Little.
Nice Little Penguins.
And it's penguins, not penguins.
Nice Little Things off the John Lewis advert.
For goodness sake, it's not difficult to say penguin.
Right, we are right in the middle of Lucy's Twisted Knickers.
See, I'm all riled up because
you
I'm
are,
a Twisted yes. Knickers.
Remind people who've joined us during that last song by the Penguins what you're really riled up about today.
I'm riled up that 18 to 21s get paid less than people over 21 for the minimum wage laws. I think it's unfair that they're getting paid much less to do the same amount of work, regardless of whether or not they're in full-time education. Not fair.
Okay, and who have we got on the phone now for you to kind of quiz about this?
We've got Tom Mendelson, an online editor for the Independent newspaper, and he specialises in student matters and everything like that. Good morning, Tom.
Thanks.
Hello, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can indeed. How are you, Tom?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you. All the better for talking to you.
Ah, oh, yeah, stop it. So we're talking about the fact that people between 18 and 21 with minimum wage get paid a lot less than people over 21. At the moment, the law is £6.50 an hour for people over 21, and it's £5.13 for people 18 to 20. What do you think about this? You deal with a lot of students and young people and everything in your line of work. What do you think about this? Is this an issue, or am I making a fuss over nothing?
No, of course it's an issue. £6.50 an hour is low enough as it is, and losing out on nearly another £1.50 an hour is massive for students. They're doing exactly the same jobs as older people, and yet they're being paid less for the labour. And I don't understand at all. Excuse me, someone's drilling something in the corner. I don't really understand at all why there should be a disparity in the wages. It's worse for 16 to 18 year olds as well. They only get paid £3.79 an hour, and they're doing the same age as people 10 years older than them.
Especially if you take into account that the UK living wage is predicted at about £7.85 an hour, and in London it's £9.15 an hour, so I don't understand how these young people are meant to cope. But something I was wondering your opinion on is, do you think, particularly the 18 to 20 bracket, do you think the pay should be different whether or not you're in full-time education?
No, I don't think it should. I mean, once again, the argument comes down to the fact that people are doing the same job for less money. And maybe students have their loans, and perhaps they're often students are middle class and maybe have parents who might be able to support them a little bit. That shouldn't make a difference to how much they're paid for their day's work. So, no, I don't. I remember being on minimum wage while I was a student, and it didn't make sense to me that I was losing out on that much money when people who are 2 years older than me were getting extra money.
One of the things that really confuses me about this topic is why no one talks about it. Literally, I was trawling through the internet, books, TV shows. Nothing was talking about this. I mean, obviously, they talk about minimum wage issues, of course, especially with Ed Miliband at the moment and his claims that he's going to raise it by 2020 if he gets into power, of course. But what I was wondering is, from someone who's very much in the media, especially dealing with students and student issues, why does nobody talk about this in the media?
It's a very good question. I think it's because basically younger people don't have much of a voice. You know, it doesn't occur to people. It won't occur to relatively well-paid people in the media. I'm not saying they're well-paid, but they're better than minimum wage. That these young people are struggling because it's kind of out of it's out of our experience in a way. So, I guess in a way it's up to young people to be talking about it themselves and to be making noise about it. I mean, we can help, and I think maybe the media at large has dropped the ball on it, but somebody has to start making the noise from somewhere, and it may as well be the young people.
Tom, a question I want to ask, and this is something that you may be able to help with, Lucy, is, because I mean, I'm not very across this at all, but obviously it does affect me. I want to at the moment, do either of you know how the government are justifying this? Do they have a reason that they're doing this, and that there's still the kind of 18 to 21 bracket?
To be honest, I tried to look this up before the show, and I couldn't find anything. I think probably if I know the arguments that employers usually make, they'll be saying that younger people often live at home, or maybe they're less experienced, or stuff like that. But I mean, I'm putting words into their mouths, but I can't think of any better arguments than that, and I don't think that worthwhile arguments anyway.
The only thing I saw about it, and this was mainly in 2012, there was a freeze on raising the minimum wage for 18 to 20 year olds. And the main argument they were saying was they wanted to stop firms being put off from employing young people, because in general, firms don't want young people employed. And I'm assuming that's the same excuse that they'll be using now for why it's so much less.
So, I think that's just rubbish, incidentally. Like, you know, firms will do whatever the legislation says they'll do. And if you give everybody the same wage, then they'll bring in the best people for the job. It's not like the young people are doing now won't be filled.
Yeah. Well, this all very much ties in with internships and unpaid internships, which is something that has been picked up a lot in the media. And I know you've done a lot of unpaid internships. And something, as a journalist, you know, that happens a lot in the world of journalism. It's always going to happen. But do you think with these issues, unpaid internships, minimum wage for younger people, do you think the media can really make a difference?
Often slightly hypocritical of a media which uses unpaid internships so much to then turn around and say that we shouldn't use them. But yes, I mean, various publications, including our own, do try and stand up against the kind of long-term scourge of internships. And there's a bit more motion towards getting people to be paid the minimum wage while doing work placements, because that's been in the news a little bit more. And I think they changed the law a little bit. It is now technically illegal not to pay people, but quite often, especially the fashion industry is pretty bad for this. You know, fashion interns have been in the news quite recently for taking various companies to court to get paid just the kind of £5.13 an hour that they felt they should be owed for working behind the scenes and on shows and stuff. So I think it's happening, and I think there is the political will for it to slowly change, but it's not going to switch immediately.
It's going to be a long process then.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Tom, thank you so much for joining us today. We really value your opinions and hearing everything you have to say about this issue, because I'm certainly no expert on it. But thank you very much for everything, Tom.
Not at all.
Speak soon.
Cheers, Tom.
All right, bye for now.
So having Tom on there, are you satisfied? Or you still as annoyed? Because I think the idea of this, you vent. This is the idea of Lucy's Twisted Knickers. It gives a chance for you to really get something off your chest that's annoying you. I feel like we're no kind of closer.
Well, this is the thing. The thing I feel close about now, having spoken to someone from The Independent, is the media and why they're not talking about it. Because what Tom said, I guess it is right. You know, people don't care what young people have to say, and there aren't young people that many. I mean, I've worked for The Independent a lot in the past, and there's no, like, that young people in the office. I'm talking about under 25s. I was the youngest person there by far. Of course, it makes sense. But there's no one there putting that voice across. And I think that has made sense from what Tom said. But I think what he is also dissatisfied with, as am I, is why the government does not justify this at any point. If I was trawling through the UK legislation and everything at the weekend, and I was looking on DirectGov and all of these different websites, there's nothing. All it does, it talks pages and pages about minimum wage. And then at the bottom it will say, and under 21s get paid less, and apprenticeships get paid less, and under 18s get paid less.
And they're not justifying it?
Not at all. I could not find anything, and I really did look. And even I watched a lot of Ed Miliband's speeches about, so basically, if he gets into power next year, he wants to raise minimum wage to £8 by 2020, which is such a small change, but it is it's a better change than the incremental.
And that would
increase.
Take 18 to 21 wage with it. That would rise. Well, it would be £1.50.
Well, this is what I can't find. Presumably, it'll go up by £1.50 as well. I've been struggling to find anywhere he actually said it. He certainly didn't say it in any of his speeches or anything, which is understandable because he's targeting, you know, people that will vote, people on minimum wage, you know, left-wing Labour voters that he can target. But I would have thought he would be talking about it, because I don't know if you heard, but Labour have said if they get in power, they're going to give 16-year-olds the vote. So 16 and above can vote. And so I would have thought, why doesn't he do as a part of that wave? Right, minimum wage. Minimum wage means minimum wage. And it should do. £3.79 what can you do with that? You know, someone under 18. And, you know, Tom's right. There are a lot of people in education who, you know, they've got middle class backgrounds, parents that can support us. I know I've had part time jobs and everything. I've complained about minimum wage. But I know me personally, if I need it, my parents will help me out. But what bothers me is the people that can't do that. 16, 17 year olds, they need that money, desperately need that money for serious things, food bills, people that contribute to the household income. £3.79 now. What's that? Nothing.
Would you feel better about it, Luce, if there was clarity on the reason? If the government were to say, this is how we justify it, or would you still be just annoyed because you disagree with, you know, the way they've justified it?
I think a bit of both, because I'd like some clarity on it, particularly the 18 to 20 bracket. I think that's absolutely absurd. In UK, 18 is an adult for everything else in life, apart from, I think, hiring a car? I think that's the only thing you can't
do. You have to be 21.
Yeah. But okay, aside from that, you are an adult, and why you should get paid less, I have absolutely no idea why. If they changed it so if you're in full-time education, you got less, I would understand that. I still wouldn't agree. I think minimum wage means minimum wage, and it should be as much as the living wage. But I would understand that because we get loans and all of these things, and we are doing something else at the same time. But 18, 19, 20-year-olds that aren't in education should get paid the exact same as people over 21.
Okay. Well, thank you very much to Tom. And that was Lucy's Twisted Knickers, which will be back when we're back, whenever that
is.
In
the future.
In the future, hopefully. Can we get into Sam's Twisted Knickers?
Oh, for God's sake.
Literally a feature I've just come up with during the last song.
Right, so this is because Sam could not... He's so bored by my Twisted Knickers that he has to come up with his own Twisted Knickers.
I'm not bored by it. I just think it's interesting to know the difference between what's doing your head in and what's doing my head in.
So what's yours? Is yours about unfair rent or unpaid internships or manipulation of young women?
It's not that. Not this week, but it's not to say in the future it won't be. This week, runners are doing my head in.
Runners?
Runners.
As in, like, Mo Farah?
No, not Mo himself, but just runners. People who are running on the side of the road.
Oh, as in, like, casual joggers?
Joggers. We'll call them joggers if you want, yeah.
Okay.
Because, particularly at this time of year, they're putting a bit more clothes on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds really odd. But what I mean is that they're kind of, because of the weather, they're layering up. But they're still jogging. So now you find joggers and not in shorts and T-shirt. Because that's normally how you find, you know, that's normally... Yeah. You see a jogger on the road.
Lycra.
They're in Lycra. So that means that they're a runner. Because sometimes if you were to run and in just normal clothes, then you look an idiot, don't you?
Yeah.
But then as soon as you put Lycra on, that's okay.
Yeah.
But that's not what's annoying me. Because in the summer, you've got the Lycra on, it's fine. In winter... Joggers, Lucy, they're layering up. They're putting on hoodies, tracksuit bottoms, trainers. Now, if you see somebody running in a hoodie, tracksuit bottoms and trainers, what do you think?
They're going for a run, you weirdo.
No, this is what's doing my head in.
You think they've mugged someone and they're running away?
I now can't spot the difference between a jogger and a criminal. I can't.
Right, so I'm concerned about the bottom million in the UK not being able to afford food, not being able to afford clothes for their children because of these minimum wage laws, young people not being able to go to university because they have no money, and you're worried that you're getting joggers and muggers mixed up.
That's exactly right.
Good.
Left the window open again.
Oh, funny man.
No,
funny man.
We haven't. We've shut the window. That's just Kendrick Lamar. That's called I.
That bloody Kendrick shut the window.
Every time I hear it, I think, what am I doing? Because if you play it in the car, it's a nightmare.
You're such an idiot.
What?
You're like a cat. Like, when a cat sees the football going across the telly, you like bat it because it thinks it's real. You hear that and you think it's actual...
Yeah,
like
I think,
happening.
What am I doing? What am I doing wrong? Who's peeping me? That's what I think, yeah.
I mean, it's adorable, but it does make you sound a bit like a border collie.
Okay. Ready for a new game?
So ready.
I said that like we've got a jingle to play. We haven't got a jingle to play because I didn't think that far ahead.
We could do a jingle right now.
Do you want to?
Yeah, we could do...
Okay. It's called Celebrity Chop.
Okay, you got to give it more than that. And I'll be the hype lady.
Celebrity Chop.
Come on!
Perfect, I'll clip it up and we'll have that for next week.
Nailed it.
So the idea is, I've been chopping some celebrities.
Not
their bodies, just what they've been saying. I've just taken clips of celebrities out of interviews, out of whatever they've been talking about, chopped it up, just got a little snippet of what they've got to say, that hopefully you will struggle to work out in what context they're saying it.
Well, that's hard.
Okay. So I'm going to award 1 point for the right celebrity, 3 points for the context in which they've said the bit that I've chopped, if that makes sense.
Got
you. In some cases, it's a phrase. Some cases, it's just simply a word. I think on number four, you've got a whole sentence.
Ooh.
But you've got to work out who it is, the context that they're saying it in. Or, now this is, again, because this is a work in progress, this show. Just in that last song, during Kendrick Lamar and his traffic jam, I've decided that I will award 5 points for creativity. So if you get the context wrong, Lucy, there's still 5 points up for grabs.
Stop it. 5 points.
If you can try and create something, some kind of really cool context.
Okay. I can do this. Yeah, this is going to sound great. I mean, I did really well on the celebrity music round.
Yes,
so let's see how well I do here, given the only celebrities I seem to know are Alan Rickman and Ed Miliband.
There's celebrities for everyone here.
Yeah, mixture.
During that, I've got five we're going to do.
All right.
Five celebrities we'll do. There's a celebrity for everybody amongst them. Okay.
All right. Bring it on.
Right, you ready for celebrity chop number
one? Okay, so you want me to guess who it is, the context.
The context in which they're saying the word, yeah?
And the if I can't guess the context...
Make it creative. Okay, celebrity chop number one.
Banker bashers. Banker bashers. Banker bashers.
Okay. Any ideas? For celebrity
is it
chop
Boris
number one.
Johnson?
Boris Johnson is correct. Yeah,
yes!
So that's 1 point. I'll give you that.
Can I hear it again?
Banker bashers. Banker bashers.
Any idea what he's saying and what context he's saying it in?
I think he's saying bank your bashers. And by bashers, he's referring to the shortened version of bangers and mash. And he's saying there's a potato and sausage shortage at the moment. So he's saying, you know, winter's coming, guys. It's getting cold. Bank your bashers now.
Bank your bashers.
Can I hear it again?
Bank your bashers.
Yeah.
That's what you're going with?
Yep. Thank you. Please. Thank you very much.
Well, let's hear what he actually had to say. I've got a bit more of an extended version of Boris there.
Never forget, all you banker bashers, never forget that the leper colony in the City of London produces 9% of UK GDP, 13% of value added, and taxes that pay for roads and schools and hospitals across this country.
Incorrect, I'm afraid.
And what he said also is incorrect.
What do you mean?
I didn't like what he was saying.
Oh, you didn't like what he was saying? Oh.
Was I wrong? So it wasn't about, you know, bank up your potatoes and sausages now?
No, it wasn't.
Bank your bashers.
Bank your bashers.
It wasn't bank your bashers. And on that one, I'm not really going to award points of creativity because if I do it on everyone...
I tried so hard!
I know, but it's 5 points.
Right, come on, next one. I got Boris.
Next one. Celebrity chop number two.
I do it.
Right.
Is that...
I do it.
Is it Scary Spice?
Is it... Do you know what? It does say...
I do it.
Is it
I
her?
Do it. I do it.
It's not. But I'll give you another
it's
guess. Because you're thinking out loud, aren't you? So keep guessing. Keep throwing names at me.
Oh, God. Is someone... Oh, Tyra Banks.
It's not Tyra Banks. I think you can only have one more guess. And
then
we'll have to call it a day.
One more time. Can I hear it?
Okay.
I do it.
Is it? Nope.
Right, so we're not going to get
clue.
It. We've no idea who it is, but you've still got a chance to get the context right. And if not right,
is
creative.
It? Okay, so is it this celebrity?
I do it.
Pretending to be Scary Spice, saying that she's up for doing a sequel of the Spice Girls musical, Spice Up Your Life Again.
I do it.
Okay. I'm not going to say if it's right or wrong at this stage, but it is creative. Okay,
thank
but
you.
Let's find out the actual context.
So we were dancing, we see J-Lo, and we're like, well, ask J-Lo to dance. And so I was like, okay, so
Kanye
what we'll
West
do
is, playing.
Is we'll do a spin, and then we'll go dance with us.
Okay. It may have been,
yada,
may or
yada,
may not
yada,
been jealous
basically, shots. I do it, and then I go like this, and then I look, and he's gone, and it's just me. Looking at J-Lo and going, dance with me.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Of course it's J-Lo. Aww.
Jennifer Lawrence talking about how her and Jimmy Fallon tried to ask J-Lo to dance, but then Jimmy disappeared. So that's what she's saying. She does it. She goes and tries to pull J-Lo over to dance.
That's actually gutting. I should have got that. It was Jennifer Lawrence.
Right, so you've got 1 point for the first one.
Yep.
I'm going to actually award 5 points for creativity.
5 points!
Incorrect.
Spice up your life again.
Spice up, because I like the idea of that. I'd go see it. So
thank you.
5 points. So you're on 6 points so far.
Me and my flatmates dressed up as the Spice Girls for a party recently, a 90s party.
Really?
I was Ginger Spice.
There's five of you, presumably?
Yeah, and we actually kind of work out.
Really?
Like, you know, like ethnicity, hair colour. I mean, I'm not as ginger anymore. Like, we height and stuff, skinniness, we work. So we made them.
Yeah, you're not ginger, though, so.
I'm not. That was the only thing that didn't work. I used to be kind of ginger, but the ginger's gone now. Soz.
Okay. Well, in that case, it kind of works, but just from the past.
Let's hear number three.
Pull your trousers down. Pull your trousers down.
Okay, any ideas who it is and what context they're saying it in, please?
I know exactly who it is, but I'm having a complete mental block.
Pull your trousers down.
I can see him in my head. Alan Sugar.
Is correct.
Pull your trousers down.
Now, I'm actually trying to think, because I've been watching most of The Apprentice this year, so I'm actually going to try and give a guess at the actual context. Pull your trousers down.
Okay.
Is he referring to, oh God, I'm trying to think, when did he say that in the series? Because I've been watching it, it's been mental.
Pull your trousers down.
Is he saying pull your trousers down, and then is he going to talk about spanking? Like, genuinely, does he talk about, does he not? No, like basically, like he was calling them one like a naughty boy, basically, like, because he was acting like a child, and he was calling them like, oh, are you going to go over to mother in the corner? Was it that episode?
It's not. Because you're trying to be right,
oh,
it's not very creative. But then the problem is,
I wasn't being creative. I was genuinely trying to guess.
But because you're not creative, and also you're not right, you're only going to get one point for Alan Sugar.
Such a failure.
The actual context was, I believe Alan Sugar is talking about the opening statement of one of his apprentices' CVs. But you'll hear it.
In your CV, what's the first thing you wrote on it? What did you say in there? You're a good Jewish boy. Is that right?
Oh, Putra, yeah. Circumcision.
Okay, yeah. Okay, well, you are or not?
No, I'm a nice Jewish boy, yeah.
Okay, because if you're unsure, you can always pull your trousers down, we can check.
Oh.
There you are, you got it in the end. But
so annoying.
Only 1 point for that, just right person, one point.
I remember listening, like, watching that episode and being like, what the fuck is he talking about? That's a weird thing to say.
It is, you shouldn't really say stuff like that, should you?
No.
After three of our celebrity chop, you've got 7 points, Lucy, still two to go. And by my maths, that's 12 points to play for.
Ooh.
Celebrity chop number 4.
He knows what buttons to push, and he certainly pushes mine.
Right, I think I... Oh.
He knows what buttons to push, and he certainly pushes mine.
Oh, it's not who I thought it was. Because my first guess was going to be Jamie Oliver, but okay, then I heard it again and it didn't sound like him. Sounds like he is from Essex, though.
Okay.
He sounds like my Essex brethren.
This one is from this week.
Oh, shit. I've been rubbish on the news this week.
All the other ones are just from all over the place, but this one is this week. Put it one more time.
Yeah, I'm really struggling.
He knows what buttons to push, and he certainly pushes mine.
Is he a sportsman?
He is.
Okay, I haven't got a clue. So I'm going to say...
No idea on the person, so you're writing off that 1 point.
Okay, I'm getting rid of that point.
Okay, don't...
I know it's a sportsman.
In that case,
I know that much.
It's John Terry, but...
Is it?
I had to tell you, so I can't... There's no points for that.
I was going to guess that. Is John Terry from Essex? Or from
I think he's from South London.
Ah, same thing.
No, it's not, is it? It's not the same thing.
Okay, so he knows how to push my buttons. That is John Terry, basically.
Right, okay.
John Terry.
I can tell you're going to be creative here.
Because I'm doing the creative hands. I'm gesticulating for creativity. Yeah. John Terry and Cristiano... No, it's really serious, though. Seriously, you shouldn't laugh at this.
Okay.
John Terry and Cristiano Ronaldo, they hate each other. At each other's throats all the time. I mean, I don't know why. I'm not privy to that. What's it called? Changing room chat or whatever.
Banter.
Changing room banter.
Yeah.
I'm not privy to that. All I know is that John Terry is pissed off because every time he plays a match, he's all happy. And he gets himself a little snack. He gets himself a little Fanta.
Yeah.
And he gets himself some chocolate buttons.
Yeah.
And he pops them on the edge. And what he likes to do, he likes to line them up in like little tiers.
Okay.
In like descending order. So it's like a little staircase of chocolate buttons. And he always loves to do that because he's a character, John Terry. He's a character.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And then bloody Ronaldo.
Right, I'm going to stop you there.
He'll just run in. I know he didn't play the same team. Runs in.
That's it.
Like, pushes the buttons. And he knows how to do it just... Yeah. He knows how to push those buttons right.
I'm all for creativity, Lucy, but... Look, no, just listen. I don't want stuff that's unrealistic. And that John Terry realistic. Doesn't play for the same team.
I know, that's why he runs in, he sneaks in, he's the button pusher. I know he doesn't play for the same team. He's the button pusher. He comes in, button pushing bandit, and he comes in all blindfolded. Like, oh, I'm gonna go push John Terry's buttons over.
I'm not awarding any points.
Can I hear it again? And now think about that context.
Why is it not working now?
Should I do an impression?
No, I've got it. He knows how to push my buttons.
He knows what buttons to push. Oh. And he certainly pushes mine.
See? He pushes.
Right, that's not the context. I'm not awarding any points of creativity because it was just, it's not feasible. What John Terry was actually talking about was his manager, Jose Mourinho, and how Jose Mourinho gets the best out of the Chelsea players.
You know, he knows the players inside out here. And for me, that's why he's the best. He knows how to push the players. He knows what buttons to push. And he certainly pushes mine to get the best.
Oh, cheeky.
We'll have one more and then we're going to have to go because we've run out of time.
Oh, gosh.
Like, really run out of time. Look at the time.
No, 3 minutes too.
You're supposed to be telling us what's coming up this weekend. I don't know if we're going to have time
to do that. And I had so much I wanted to tell you all about. And all I've done is talk about bloody incontinence, Sam. Sam Hart, I blame you.
I know, my fault.
Right, come on, let's do this last one. Let's finish off with this last one. Let's do this.
I just loved that stuff. I just loved that stuff.
Any ideas?
Is it Beyonce?
It's not Beyonce. Are you thinking out loud or is that like a guess you're actually going with?
Sorry. It's another one.
I just loved that stuff.
It's a really familiar voice.
Yes, it is.
I just loved that stuff.
But I can't think who it is. I'm going to go with Hillary Clinton, is it?
It's not Hillary Clinton.
Nope.
No. So no points for that. You have to be very quick with this contest because we've got to play a song and go.
I just love that stuff.
Shall I tell you?
Go on then.
It's Emma Stone talking about Christmas.
And I know that the holiday season is supposed to be about, you know, friends and family and sharing, but I just loved that stuff so much. Tamagotchis and Furbies are so much better than quality time.
She's kind of right.
She's totally right. Oh my God. Jennifer Lawrence and Emma Stone, two of my favourite actresses, and I didn't get either of them. I'm sorry.
That's okay. 7 points at
again
the end of today's Celebrity Chop. Because you didn't get anything more, did you?
I got a 5-pointer. That's quite impressive. You knocked that out of the park.
Two names right and a 5-pointer. 7 points. I don't think we're going to have time for you to tell us what's going on this weekend. I think we're just going to play a song.
We really haven't got time.
But it's been good. Yeah, we've enjoyed it, haven't
thank
we?
Thank you so much for this, Sam, Fubar, and everybody listening. I've absolutely loved it. It's been brilliant. And thank you very much to Pete Rycroft, now Lost Boy, our music producer and writer for When I Grow Up of the Week. And also to Tom Mendelson, online editor of the Independent newspaper, for having a chat to us about my twisted knickers.
And we'll finish on a song, one of your choices, Lucy, if that's okay.
Oh, lovely.
Do you know what to tell us what it is?
Yeah, I will do. Okay, so this is Field Report, which is an American folk band, and hopefully no one will have heard this song before. The lead singer, and he writes all the songs, his name is Christopher Porterfield, and the band is actually an anagram of his surname, Field Report Porterfield. And this track is off their recent album, Marigolden, which came out earlier this year. You've been listening to FUBAR. This has been the Lucy and Sam Show, or Sam and Lucy Show, as it will now be known.
Yes,
thank you
will.
So much for joining us. We've been your pirate radio for the past 2 hours.